Welcome to Farmscape Online. I'm Bruce Cochran. My guest is Dr. Paul Sundberg, the Executive Director of the Swine Health Information Center. Thanks for joining us, Dr. Sundberg.
You're welcome. It's good to be with you.
As part of its monthly e-newsletter, the Swine Health Information Center has released its April 2021 Domestic and Global Swine Disease Monitoring Reports. What has been happening, first of all, domestically?
Okay, domestically. Let's start with PERS, because that's our number one disease that causes the most production issues and production losses. So let's start with PERS. There has been a decrease in PERS detection in wean-to-market animals. And, you know, that's probably not all that unexpected given the warmer weather and the decrease in transfer risk that goes on. There is one thing to point out as far as PERS goes, is that we had a webinar in February on the PERS strain 144 and the Lyme 1C virus that was causing a good amount of losses on individual farms. It was a very hot, very pathogenic type of PERS. And our monitoring, looking for that type of activity through the domestic disease monitoring report now shows that that was probably a limited outbreak at this point. We haven't seen a lot of activity from the 144-1C variant right now. And so that's a good thing. Things seem to be quieting down and it doesn't look like that's going to be an epidemic. That's an example of keeping an eye out for emerging issues out there in the countryside. So that's a spot where we can start with PERS.
What are we seeing with other domestic diseases?
Sure. The porcine delta coronaviruses, the PDCoV, have really risen sharply. They're at a record high number of cases that have come into the diagnostic labs for the delta coronavirus. And at the highest level that we've seen since the 2014 outbreak of PDCoV, especially in the south central U.S. and then in some southeast production as well. We don't know really the reason why. We haven't been able to uncover reasons for that. It's just, I think what it amounts to is an illustration that those coronaviruses are still out there. They're still active. They can still be in circulation. And we need to do a better job of biosecurity to keep them from going from one farm to another. Mycoplasma has been low. It's been at the lowest detection of the year in 2021. For the first quarter, it's continued to go down. So that's a positive thing as far as mycoplasma detection goes.
What typically would we see at this time of year, early spring, and how are things looking in 2021 compared to other years?
The typical scenario is that as we come into spring and the weather changes such that there are hot days and cool nights, we may have some increased respiratory infections. We may have some increased stress on the animals. And we haven't seen a lot of that at this point. Things have been fairly quiet and fairly low, except for the porcine delta coronavirus, as I talked about. This isn't an unusual thing compared to other years. And so it's something that we're going to keep an eye on, but I think we're pretty much in the spot where we can say, other than for porcine delta coronavirus, we're in a fairly quiet period right now.
What does all of this suggest in terms of the overall North American animal health status?
Yeah, you know, that leads into another question and another issue that is a good thing to ask because of the overall health status. I think our overall health status is good. It's not great yet because we still have things out there that are circulating and we need to pay attention to biosecurity. But one of the upgrades to the domestic disease monitoring report that I want to make sure that everybody is aware of is the release of a different type of reporting system now. The domestic disease monitoring report is built on the veterinary diagnostic labs reporting the tests that they run for the diseases or the pathogens of interest each month. And so we monitor that, they report, we compile, and we report that. And so that is a level of testing within the diagnostic labs. And I stress that's a level of testing. There may be more or less disease out there, more or less diagnosis of disease, but we know at least what's happening with the testing that's coming in to the diagnostic labs. What we're doing now is we're taking the next step in the evolution of this, and we're looking at a pilot project with Iowa State University by which we're going to start compiling and reporting on disease diagnostic codes. So when a case comes into the diagnostic lab, tests are run, and those tests have an outcome, and we will be reported on that. But the tests, the submissions that come in also have an outcome, and they have a diagnosis. And those diagnoses are given codes. And what we're looking at is compiling the number of diagnosis codes so we can get a better picture of what the actual disease is. We may be running tests for PERS, but the diagnosis ends up to be mycoplasma, for example. So what we'll do is we'll report high PERS number of tests, and the mycoplasma diagnosis goes unreported as part of the PERS or mycoplasma testing. So I think we're on the cusp of doing a better job of looking at disease status that will give us a better look at what you ask about with the disease status of the U.S. pork industry.
What are we seeing internationally?
Internationally, of course, we always talk about ASF and the things that are happening there and the continuing outbreaks that are going on in China and Southeast Asia. As those herds try to repopulate from previous losses, there are susceptible animals that are put into the breeding herds, and there's continued losses in those newly introduced breeding animals. So there are continued issues with ASF circulation in China and Southeast Asia. They haven't been solved. Word from the ground in those areas, in that area of the world, is that the sites that are able to maintain good biosecurity have been relatively successful in keeping ASF out. There's a lot of incentive to do so because the prices are so high. They want to repopulate, they want to reproduce, and they want to provide product. So the prices are high in China, Southeast Asia, and there's a lot of incentive to repopulate. But that means there's also an opportunity for continued infection if people don't pay high attention to biosecurity. In Poland, we've got a report of the first outbreak of African swine fever in Western Poland in 2021 now. The first outbreak on a commercial farm in Western Poland in 2021. That's a site that is of fairly decent size. It's of a 2,000 sow site that is in Western Poland now, the first time that that's reported in 2021. We've got another report of classical swine fever in northeast Brazil. This is an area that's outside of their usual production. It's in backyard farms. It's rather isolated, but it's an illustration that there are things other than ASF that continue to show up around the world that we have to pay attention to.
What is happening in North America at this point to step up the barrier against ASF?
Well, one of the things that U.S. and Canada have been working on is an agreement about how they would handle a detection of ASF in feral swine. So the good thing is that Canada and the U.S. Continue to talk about preparation, about response. Of course, there's always prevention, and that's the first thing that we're trying to do. But especially, I think this is an important thing to note, that we are paying attention to what's going on around the world. And in Europe, in Eastern Europe, in Russia, there are continued issues with ASF circulating in feral pigs in those regions. And we're trying to learn lessons about how we can better prevent or respond then to feral pig infections here in the U.S. and in Canada. And this U.S.-Canadian cooperation on the effort to respond to a detection to ASF in feral pigs is another good example of the collaboration and cooperation that the two countries have in the attention that they're giving to African swine fever and preparation for prevention and response.
Just how important is that risk posed by feral swine, and how critical is the need to be on top of it?
Well, right now, the way that the countries around the world react is that if you have an African swine fever identified in feral pigs, that is just as much damaging on your trade and on your industry as it would be if it were in commercial pigs. Certainly, that's what happened in Germany. They found out that that first pig that they detected ASF in a feral pig cut off their exports and caused their industry a lot of losses. Now, they've been able to regain some of those by their surveillance programs and in other negotiations. But it's really important that we pay great attention to the feral pig issues here in North America, because we don't want that first infection to show up in feral pigs and have it be uncontrollable. One of the things that is important to remember about feral pigs is that we really don't have a denominator of how many there are. You can't say, well, we've got all the African swine fever or whatever out of feral pigs easily, because you don't know that the next one you find wouldn't have the same thing. So it's a difficult issue to manage that, manage a feral pig population. We're learning those lessons from Europe, and I think that's the important lesson that we have for Canada and the U.S. in this cooperation about being able to recognize using feral pigs in surveillance, and then be having a good collaborative response to that identification.
And is there anything you would like to add?
Well, I think one thing that I'll point out for people in case they're interested is the World Organization for Animal Health, the OIE, has provided a new website, a new interface to their animal health reporting system and what they offer. So OIE.org is the simple website address to go look for, to check for status around the world. You can also go to the SHIC newsletter, and that's available on our website, the swinehealth.org website, and that has the International Disease Report that you can also find information about OIE, about African swine fever, about vaccinations, about the preparedness efforts, a wide variety of things. So I encourage people to take advantage of that resource if they're interested.
Thank you very much.
All right. Thanks for having me, Bruce.
Our guest has been Dr. Paul Sundberg, the Executive Director of the Swine Health Information Center. For Farmscape Online, I'm Bruce Cochran.